Blog Talk Radio.
Well, a big holiday hello, everyone. I'm Lauren Leibowitz, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio and How to Be Comfortable in Your Own Shoes. It is Thursday, December 17th, and once again, like clockwork, we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, as I do every Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific time. And I want to give everybody a heads up, because we're changing our shoes here at How to Be Comfortable in Your Own Shoes. We're going to have a new format for the show that will start in 2010, which is just a few weeks away. It's all very, very exciting. And the format's going to be more about exploring the world of restaurants, food trends, and more, but with a little humorous edge. So keep tuning in for more details about our new pair of shoes starting in 2010. Today, we're going completely alternative, maybe even shoeless. I don't know, whatever floats our boat today. That's what we're going to do, and we'd love to hear from you. So if you'd like to join in live on air, you can call 347-857-2710, and we are here live until 3:30 p.m. Pacific time. As I mentioned, today's word is alternative, alternative energy, alternative television, and my guest today fits this bill. In 1992, my guest co-founded Pure Energy Corporation, a biofuels company bridging the life science and petroleum industries, and he's also the creator and executive producer for the Bravo hit TV series Real Housewives, as well as the creator and executive producer of the Oxygen Network series Addicted to Beauty. This man is addicted to beauty. My God, please welcome Scott Dunlop to the show. Hi, Scott.
Hello, Lauren. I don't know if I'm addicted to beauty. I'm addicted to change.
Addicted to change? So
spare
what
change.
Does that mean?
Well, I think it's interesting your format. You're saying you're going to go through a shift in your format. So does that mean that you're not comfortable in your shoes if you're shifting your format?
No, that does not mean I'm not comfortable in my shoes. Wow, we're flipping the tables already. No, it's I'm very comfortable in the shoes. I'm just getting a little more focused. I've been doing.
I like
you know,
that.
It's like, and like the change. It's I feel something else is going to be. It's not a little better, but it's a little different and a little bit more. I don't know. Like
it's,
you said.
It's going to be more chameleon-esque, and in nothing against chameleons. They don't necessarily wear shoes. They don't have to.
That's
but
right.
They kind of reflect the environment. So I think that'll be great. I'll have to tune in, and so fire away.
Well, hey, well, maybe you want to do the, I don't know, the real radio show hosts of Los Angeles.
Well, you know, I mean... Radio, you know, is basically television without a camera.
Exactly.
I mean, we're not doing anything different that you don't do in a reality show. We're talking. We're putting words together. And there's just no camera.
No, but I guess if you go back to, my grandparents, when they listened to the radio as a form of entertainment, how these radio shows created a picture, you were drawn into... a story.
Absolutely, and probably many would say a better picture.
Probably. Well, radio is different. I think it's a wonderful medium. You like television. I mean, you don't know how many people you actually reach, and I mean, it's interesting. You talk to many interesting people, but I think it's a wonderful format.
Well, but at the end, the whole thing, you know, the technology, I mean, look at this. This is... what you're doing is kind of, it's part of the democratization of technology, moving across all the mediums to allow everyone to be, you know, have their fingers and pies and to get into entertainment. I mean, you know, a lot of people criticize reality television, and there are many reasons that people can do that, and I embrace all that criticism, but it wouldn't have happened. I don't think, I mean, you talk about radio, I mean, I think in, like talk radio, we would listen and be entertained by the callers. Now, I don't know if I'm entertaining. I may probably will not
we'll
be.
We'll find that out at the end of the show.
Yeah,
we'll
but now, yeah, here we go. I mean, everything's being kind of leveled by technology, so there you go.
It's very true, but on a positive note, it gives people any of these, what technology has done for a lot of people who are creative is that it gives them an opportunity to be creative.
It's the best. And
it
no,
is,
absolutely. It's a portal to give you an opportunity to express yourself.
Exactly. And you don't have to stand in line, audition, get pictures, spend X amount of money to say, here I am, and have someone on the other end say, I'm sorry, you're not what we're looking for.
Especially you don't need an agent.
Exactly. Here's 10% of nothing. Go out and promote me, and they don't do it. The whole system, I'm sure you know what it's like. How did you get how did you find your five Real Housewives?
Neighbors.
Are they still your neighbors?
yeah, they're neighbors. I think the neighborhood when the show aired. Well, prior to that, when people realized that the show was probably going to occur, there was a revolution that occurred in the neighborhood, and I kind of anticipated that very conservative neighborhood, and it, you know, people reacted normally, that, you know, from a position of no, this is wrong, because their expectation or their perception of what the show would be or could be was different than where it ended up. But it's also kind of the hypocrisy of, I think, of just life in general.
Well, there are a whole bunch of naysayers. There's always somebody saying, this won't work, it's not good, you can't do this. They create boundaries and perimeters and prevent someone from moving forward. Unless.
But that, and you're right, Lauren, and I think it's one of the reasons that the show enjoyed success is that it was controversial. It was controversial and when it was just, you know, being developed, and I was trying to do it within this community. It's a private community, and people started losing their mind. I had death threats and all this crazy stuff. It was just a little television show. I wanted it to be kind of like a chunk of social anthropology and try to have some fun with it. That was the goal, and it turned into a kind of a wild nightmare for a while. But the rest of it, though, but I think to your point, then going back to technology, people – now, when they watch the show, like I say, you either love it or you hate it, but you can't ignore it. That show happens to be fit into that. And then people go on and they blog and they talk and they interact in forums. And I think part of the success of the Housewives franchise is tied to the internet.
Right, because people can talk to so-and-so and say, oh, did you see tonight's episode? And
no,
but
it's about judgment. A lot of reality television is about sitting back and in 5 seconds being able to judge however you choose to feel about that individual, whether it's positive or negative, instantaneously. And then when you go on the internet and you find a forum or some type of a site where people will opine on what they watched or that individual, whether they love them or hate them, then it creates a whole other dynamic. It's bizarre. It's wild.
It is, and it's a certain generation.
Yes.
It is a younger generation, meaning people in their 20s and college age who this is their mode of communication is through technology.
Yes, I would agree. College students also like soap operas. This is a docu-soap as well.
But who doesn't? I used to watch General Hospital.
Yeah.
Following, you always followed Jeopardy with Don, was it Don?
Don Pardo.
Don Pardo, I love that voice. You know, I'll take hodgepodge for 10. And then General Hospital came on, and you wanted to follow the lives of these people. And especially with Housewives, it's an affluent life, and a lot of people want to know what the other side is like.
Yes, that's true.
And how do these people live? Do they brush their teeth like I do?
Yes, and what is their conflict? What's good, bad, and indifferent about them? And when they end up watching the program, some say, I feel better about my life, or some may find aspirational notes, or some may find relational notes. Look, it works, it's on air, and it tends to continue along.
That's great. And what about the real husbands?
Well, there are husbands.
A male perspective.
It's been discussed, and, you know, I think, well, television is still primarily a women's medium, and, you know, it's not that the guys are left out, but the original stories, when I first created the show, I wanted to tell the stories through the eyes of women, the moms within the community, simply because the men would leave and go to work, and then they would hang around the community. And so it seemed, also logically, practically, at that time, Desperate Housewives was the number one scripted show, and it just ended to work out from a business.
So your show wasn't completely improv or ad lib. It was somewhat scripted, wasn't it? You had a
outline? No script. Completely fly on the wall.
Wow.
Yeah. No, because, well, Bravo is known as a fly-on-the-wall reality network, and that's what was delivered in, was, you know, we'll follow you around. We don't know if we're going to have anything that's interesting, but that's how that kind of component finds its way.
That's improv is, it's great. It's great. That's great that you're able to do that. So what is next on your agenda? How do you move forward from here?
Well, I'm working on a handful of shows. I'm keeping my fingers in the energy pies. You don't know what's going to happen next. When I left the regular corporate world, I just jumped in and kind of did a handful of different things, and that's what I still do. Sometimes I feel like, why did I do that? But, you know, I'm trying to stay comfortable in my own shoes, and I just try to shift the shoes, or I don't wear the shoes.
You can wear several in one day.
That's it. But, you know, for me, I'm working on a couple of other alternative television programs, and I did a play recently with my brother, and we worked on a project. And, you know, I've got a few things going, and, you know, it's 2010,
well,
you know.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I interviewed, I don't know if you're familiar with the Hollywood Fringe Festival is coming to Los Angeles in this June. And I had Ben Hill, who's the executive director of the Fringe Festival, on the show, and it was fascinating, talking about bringing the Hollywood community together through theater.
Excellent.
And it's a resurgence of a small radius of Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also had Paul G. Gleason, who's the artistic director of the Paul G. Gleason Theater in Hollywood, which is a venue for this Fringe Festival. So here's an opportunity for you, Scott Dunlop, creator, executor, actor, musician, to put on your own theatrical shoes on stage. How about
that? Absolutely.
I
mean, I think there'd be an interesting amalgam of taking the essence of a reality position in theater and try to merge a couple of different mediums. That would be fun. I think that would be a very exciting and intoxicating proposition.
All right, let's do it. I love
okay,
it.
Okay, what are we waiting for?
Well, you know, you got the green light. Let's do it. And
okay.
While you're doing that, we could talk about your energy. I'm a little low on energy, so what kind of alternative energy do you have for me?
Started off working in the energy field in biofuels and worked many years and realized, wow, it's one of the few areas where innovation is really not embraced. It's unfortunate, but I think it's slowly changing as policy shifts. I'm not going to get into a long dissertation on my position on alternative energy, but, you know, we spent many, many years and a lot of money crafting a cleaner fuel that worked within the current fuels infrastructure, got it patented, went through all these hoops and whatnot, but you still have to, like in show business, it's about distribution. It's the same issue in energy. The oil companies control the street. So it, whatever you come up with has to go through them eventually. And
well, it's like the electric car. Did you ever see the documentary, Who Killed the Electric Car?
Yes.
And GM kind of ruined it for themselves. Here they were the first. And there was
well, and it's a territorial notion. Our economy has kind of evolved and built itself and we've been a petroleum economy for 100 years. And they want to, from their business model, sustain that. And it's very simple. Energy companies do not need to change until policy changes. And energy and politics are very close, and they are synonymous with each other, and it's about politics. So until you have political change, you don't see the energy companies don't have to truly change. You know, we've had gasoline in our vehicles for 90 years, and that's just the way it is. We're slowly starting to turn now with hybrid cars, and I spend time on the clean fuel side, and I play in the solar side, and I tried to get a wind farm going on a Native American reservation, all of which would have made great television, maybe more so than trying to get them done, because it's really tough.
Well, there was a whole segment on the local news maybe about a month ago, the L.A. local news, about who was it? It was one of the big Paul Mitchell, I think, mm-hmm. was the hairstylist.
Yeah.
He wanted to have his own windmill mm-hmm. energy system on his property. And the red tape that he went through to get one, he could afford one. The price wasn't the problem, but like you're saying, it was going through the red tape to get it. It took years.
Sure. It's just the way it is. You know, businesses become entrenched based on logic for themselves and repetition, and it's hard to change things. It's always been that way. And, you know, I think that maybe 50 years from now, and everything becomes about economics. As oil prices go up, you see more and more discussion and dialogue and interface and movement in alternative energy. And I was told by a very large oil company that has to remain anonymous at this point in time, after 7 years of doing business with them, they said, well, you know, we would probably buy your company. You just need to hold on for another 10 years. As oil becomes a more depleting resource, things will shift and change. But you have to be able to hold on. Well, you can't hold on. You have to be able to sell things to sustain in a free market economy, and it's just one of those deals, you know. So.
Well, it just seems like the society waits till it's too late. Now we have a problem, so now we have to fix it instead of trying to prevent a problem or to try to ease a situation.
But I don't dislike oil.
No.
And I don't think anyone listening to the program really dislikes oil. It's just become a political scenario, and it's hard to find it here in the States and North America for the most part. So, you know, we end up getting in wars, and it becomes a very embittered and embattled scenario. But anyway, what else is happening in the world?
Of shoes?
Shoes, yes.
Of shoes?
Or laces. Yeah. How come a lot of people don't wear shoelaces anymore? What's that all about?
I don't know. I've seen some, there's a shoe designer that has some kind of wire-like shoelace.
Nice.
There's a knob at the heel of the sneaker that you turn it clockwise to tighten your shoe.
Yeah, that's nice. But I'm talking about from a fashion perspective.
Oh, I don't know. Anything
guys,
else.
No. You have regular shoes, but people don't wear shoelaces. They're making a statement. It's like too cool for school, I guess. I don't know.
I don't know. They don't want to be uptight. Shoelaces are uptight. I don't know. You know what? You can tell people a lot about people about their shoes and their watch.
You know, I find that I don't wear a watch anymore because I've
got
my cell phone.
I don't want to get too. But do you wear any clothes? Are you wearing any clothes right now?
I am. No, I'm clothed. You know, I'm actually I'm at my home office, and there's somebody with a one of those redistributors of dust.
Yes, you're getting more
the
dust.
The air blowers. Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know if you can hear that in the background. I can't cancel that out for you. Sorry, it's part of the ambiance. No, I'm wearing clothes, but I exercised earlier today, so that's
good. In your home gym?
No. I went down the street and ran away from people and got my heart rate up.
But no one was chasing you. You just got your heart rate up on your own.
I like to be chased.
Do you? Do you like to be chased?
Sure. We need conflict. Conflict moves the story forward.
Are we creating a story right here?
I think it is. I mean, this is like any other reality program I've seen.
It is.
You just need to have a cat fight right now. What'd you say?
What do you mean? What did you call me? Who do you think you are?
Where's my Chardonnay?
Where is your Chardonnay?
I don't know. It's a little early yet. I mean,
it's never too early for a Chardonnay. It's 3:19. It's probably 6:19 in New York.
It is, right.
It is.
People are well into their Chardonnay.
Into their Chardonnay. It's, Thursday, so it's...
It doesn't have to be Chardonnay.
No, it could be an iced martini. What's your favorite cocktail?
I'd like to start with a martini and then move into wine.
Okay, so do you like yours dry? And everybody is so particular about how they...
Dry. You know, I think that's an over... an oversold proposition. Just, you know, a little vodka, ice, maybe a little olive juice. I'm good.
Oh, so you're dirty. You're dirty martini.
I'm filthy.
Yeah. Yep, that's the news behind the orange curtain. That's
yeah.
what I'm feeling.
You know, Orange County just doesn't get any respect. All you people in L.A., you know, we've always lived behind the shadow of Los Angeles.
I used to live in Irvine.
Why'd you leave?
Why did I leave?
To Vanilla?
Vanilla? Well, because I too, had a dream. And you hear the music playing in the background.
I do.
I too, wanted to be a star of stage, screen, and TV. And I moved to L.A.
Yeah, well, that's where you should go. That's where it happens.
When I went to college here, so...
No, that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's a company town.
It is a company town.
For me, when I moved here, I didn't know anybody, and I wanted to figure out what was going on in the company town. And I started then. I only knew one person. It was W.C. Fields' grandson. I used to see him running, and he was a writer. And I was interested in comedy. I know that you're a comedian, and so I wanted to go find improv comedy. And I went to the Groundlings Theater, and I kind of insinuated my way inside for a while. I got to know Los Angeles as a company town. I want to see, so what is it? It's a pretty one-dimensional town. Nothing against it. I'm just saying it's a show business town.
But it's like that anywhere in the world. It's always
anywhere,
you know.
Any
it's
town.
Always who you know that gets you there, and what you know that keeps you there. So
sure, some towns are have vegetables as their primary product. Some towns have steel. And,
right.
You know,
whatever works. You know?
Yeah. But I moved back to Orange County and had more success in show business when I was here.
Well, why do you think that is?
Well, it's about the product because, you know, obviously I wasn't doing anything right before.
Well, your product is about your community, your surroundings. So you're taking something close to home.
Yes, but you would get this, and I'm sure the people do. When I was telling somebody said, you know, with the success of the Housewife show, they're saying, well, how'd you come up with that idea? And, wow, that's crazy, and all this stuff. And they said, "Well, where do you live?" I said, "I live in Orange County." You go, really? Yeah. I said, "Well, I live in the community where I did the show." You go, "No, you don't." Well, yeah, I do. You go, "Well, why would you live there?" I mean, but once again, you're talking to an individual that's in the business, lives in L.A. I'm not criticizing. It's just a perception. But I said, you know, you couldn't tell the story. There are a lot of good producers around, but you really couldn't tell the story unless you lived in the belly of the beast.
Exactly. Well, everybody has their own concepts and ideas and preconceived ideas of what living in L.A. is versus Orange County or any other part of the world.
Thank God they do.
That's right. Not unless you live there. Irvine was... It was a very well-planned community.
Almost too organized.
Too organized, kind of a Xerox copy.
Yeah, you
know,
many
you'd
different...
You flip it over, it'd be the same thing on the other side. Everybody, and it was very ruled. There were a lot of rules.
Yeah, seven different shades of beige.
Exactly. But it's great for families. I remember there was a strawberry field across the street. Beautiful.
Strawberry fields forever.
Now?
Yeah. Well, there's still a few fields around, but you're right. You know, Orange County is a very organized county. It likes to be organized. The people, I think the founding fathers and mothers wanted organization. It bothers me. Too much organization bothers me.
There's nothing wrong. I mean, there's it needs to be a little happy medium all over. You need a hodgepodge, a little melting pot, a little bit of salt, a little pepper, a little sugar. To make the cake taste really good.
Yeah, I'm for that, and I hope that as we all turn the corner on 2009, that the ingredients making the next batch of cookies or cake continues to inspire and evolve.
I hope so. I hope so. What is your? I never make a New Year's resolution. I'm doing New Year's revolutions.
Oh, that's pretty interesting. That's a good way to look at it.
Because I always think you should always be doing something to help yourself, and you know, there's so much opportunity. I truly believe that even though we're experiencing difficult economic times now, there is more opportunity than ever before.
I think you're right. I think it's a great time if people have entrepreneurial ideas or innovating ideas. You should implement them now.
Do you hear that, listeners? You've heard Scott Dunlop. Do it now.
Well, it's because, I mean, no, I really believe that. I think that I found when I've been in my most desperate or disparate state where things have been, I just can't figure out what direction things are going to go and where I'm going to fit into all that. I'll focus on an idea and stay with it and really, it's about concentration for me, not that I'm right. And then sometimes you get lucky and oftentimes you don't, but I think that the economy, I think that people and humanity during stressful times will embrace innovation more so than when things are just humming along.
That's right. I think we need times like this to go back to a certain part of our lives that
was harmonious.
You go into a place of business, they know you, hey, Scott, yeah, that's $100. You know, I don't have my wallet with me or credit card. Not a problem. You'll come back. You can pay me at another time.
That's just what's going to happen. Now, I think oftentimes we get stuck chewing aluminum foil too long, and it just doesn't taste good, and you've got to innovate and move beyond that.
Everything's for a reason. I think a lot of people might disagree, but it's about being able to change. Here's the change. Continue what you're doing, but maybe differently that you never saw.
They should call in and challenge us.
That's it. We're challenging you. I feel like we're raising money for Jerry Lewis or something. Call
Spare
in and challenge. Or PBS. We probably can make a fortune.
When I was in high school, if you walked down the hallway, it was a big high school. Certain people, some guys, tough cats slap your pockets looking for spare change.
Right.
It's tough.
You know what? I think we have a caller here for you, Scott Dunlop. I'm going to click in and see who our lovely listener is. So
that's fine.
Hello. Hello, you're on the air with Lauren and Scott. Who are we speaking to?
This is Amy.
Amy! Hi,
yes,
Amy.
I am calling because I want to find out from Mr. Dunlop if he is going to do another version of the Addicted to Beauty show.
That program, here's what I know. Hi, Amy.
Hi.
Here's what,
beautiful.
That's what I know. It was nice talking to you. Bye. No, I'd like to do another version of that, and maybe in a little different way. It's airing right now in the UK.
Okay.
I don't know. It's not up to me. It's up to the network.
Oh, okay.
Go,
so maybe we
could
petition. Is there some we
can
write?
I want to be on it. I want to be a subject. There's always room for improvement.
You know, it's a fascinating thing, people's perception of why and what they need for improvement. What is it that you would like to improve in your life, Amy?
Oh, my goodness. How much time do you have?
We don't have a lot.
We only have 2 minutes. I just wanted to call in and tell Mr. Dunlop I love this show.
Oh, good. Thank you.
And we hope to see him one of these days.
Yeah, we'll do what we can.
Brian
maybe.
Says hello.
Beautiful.
And Mr. Rex.
Beautiful.
And Mr. Rex.
Well, thank you. Thank you for calling in and talking about beauty. We love that. It's a perfect way to end our show. And Scott, many thanks. What a lovely 30 minutes of no shoes. It was fabulous. Thank you so much.
I enjoyed it. And may we all go forward with positive addictions in 2010.
I love it. And I want to give your website out to our listeners if they want to find out how they can get addicted to beauty. And Scott's website is www.dunlopgrp.com. And people can contact you through your website, right?
If they want to contact me.
Who doesn't? Who doesn't, Mr. Dunlop? Beautiful. I look forward to doing a little variety reality show with you.
Let's
I know
go.
That's in the works. So once again, thank you, Scott, so much for joining me. And happy holidays to all my listeners. My guest next time will be Denise Pazienti, owner of Blue Garage Pilates. So Scott, if you're in the mood for a little Pilates.
That sounds pretty that's exotic.
Yeah, it's really happening. So you'll have to get your shoes on. I'll come pick you up and drive you there.
Fantastic.
All right. So enjoy. Happy holidays to you and yours. And I look forward to seeing everyone next time and helping you find comfort in your own shoes.
Thanks, Lauren.